There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And more from Dr. Bill. We'll get an update around 1:33, 1:34 there on some, you know, the tonight and tomorrow. Some pretty bumpy weather coming our way. But Sunday looks nice, so that's a good thing. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, a little update on a fundraiser going on. And I do want to talk to my buddy Angelo, Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And Angelo, do you mind if I kind of pull back the curtain on the conversation we're just having?
No, let's do it.
Okay. So I said, so Angelo and I are buddies, and I said, hey, you know, get ready to come on here and talk precious metals and a couple things at the shop. And I said, you know, look at Bitcoin and Ethereum and those cryptocurrencies taking a bit of a downturn out right now. I said, what does that mean for silver? Because Angelo watches all this stuff. So, and you said, it seems like silver and gold are impervious to any of this.
They really are. I mean, we saw some of that with that, you know, that rush a while back with the Robin Hood rush on everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're looking at it now. I mean, I think Ethereum dropped, what was it, 10%, 14%, mm-hmm. you know, within a 12-hour, 24-hour period. Gold and silver have stayed virtually exactly the same as where they were the other day. And the demand is still so strong for physical gold and silver that those premiums keep trying to creep up. And what that means is, you know, 2 years ago, you looked at the spot price on the electronic market, and the physical market was trading, selling pretty close to that. Now there's a bigger and bigger disparity between those two things because the physical market, the demand is so strong to actually get physical silver in your hands, in your possession, that it is rapidly outpacing what's going on out there on the electronic side.
And you have it in your hands. You've got something tangible that you don't have to wait for them to say, oh, well, we can make good on that in 2 months. You could get it, walk over the safe and get it.
Well, we've had this conversation both on the crypto side of things and on the physical side of things. Let's just say you're heavily invested in all these cryptocurrencies, and you look at your crypto wallet, and you're a millionaire or, you know, at least $100 heir in my case, you know? And you look at that and you go, great, I've made all this money. I want to do something with it. Well, at any point in that electronic realm, they can freeze things. They could prevent you from transferring that to your bank. They could prevent somebody from taking that and exchanging it for goods or services. So you're trapped into that virtual world potentially because they control all of that. You walk into a shop like Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, buy an ounce of gold, you buy an ounce of silver, you walk out the door, you own that. That is in your possession, in your control. You can do anything you want with it. You can sell it. You can give it to a friend. You can throw it in the middle of Mobile Bay if you want to. I wouldn't recommend that. But you can do anything you want because you have it.
All right. Let's talk about that process of buy. And I also want to point out, too, y'all are buying yourselves. But if we're coming in looking to buy precious metals, no taxes on that? And also, you give
exactly.
a lot of free
no
advice.
No sales tax on gold and silver bullion. No sales tax on U.S. coins and currency. So if you've been thinking about doing all this, you've been looking online, walk into the shop right here at 2204 Government Street. Look at the different silver items and what the price is, whether you want 1 ounce of silver or 100 ounces of silver. We're going to pick out the items. You're going to pay for them. You're not going to pay sales tax. You're going to walk out the door with those items in your possession.
All right. Y'all go see my friend, and he give you that same kind of advice that he gives me. He'll give you when you go by the shop. Tell people how to find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can check us out online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can listen to that radio show live on 106.5 every Tuesday night from 6 to 7, or in podcast form on our website. If you want to see the cool stuff when it arrives, check us out on Facebook and on Instagram.
Thanks, Angelo. We'll talk soon.
Have a good weekend, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, put this story up with a little bit of a question on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. We'll see if somebody comes up with the answer. Because the story, you heard it, Devin just had it on WKRG's news update. The four Mobile businesses caught selling alcohol to minors. And it lists them out here. And I'm for ABC enforcing that. I'm on board. My issues with ABC stores are with the retail component, not with the enforcement. You know, you ever seen a ABC store get busted for selling to minors? You ever seen that? You want to Google that story? You want to see? You don't find it. You wonder why? Maybe you do. Maybe we'll let that sit out there for a little bit. You wonder why you don't ever see them busted for selling to minors? Maybe it is because they never sell to minors. Maybe it's something else. We'll let that sit just a little bit and simmer out there and see if you got some ideas of why that may have happened. Also, we mentioned at the beginning of last hour, it is the National Book Day out there, and I got some people suggesting favorite books. Yeah, it's, you know, the weird thing is, I think it's when you give people, like, to come on here and say, here's a great book, here's a great idea for a book for you, it's very personal, right? It's easier to recommend books like to friends of yours because you know what they're into or not into. Because I mean, Leanna was asking me, like, what book would I recommend to everybody? And I've talked about some of the, like, Empire of the Summer Moon is one that sticks with me that I've read. S.C. Gwynn's book I've read in the last year or so. There's a bunch more in between that and now, but I don't even know. Because they're narrow. You know, that's the nice thing about a book is it's almost like the internet. You can bury yourself in something so narrow that you're interested in. It doesn't have to be broad appeal out there. But do yourself a favor. Pick up a book. Or actually, on this National Book Day, I want to ask this question too. Why does it feel like listening to a book? You know, it's not a book on tape anymore, but, you know, listening to, like, I use Audible and Great Courses and a couple different things where I'm consuming books, but I'm not reading them. And it's a little bit because of pretty much if it's daylight, I'm wide butt open all the time. If I'm not at work, when I'm not at work, I'm still wide open. I don't sit very well. And then by the time it's time to sit at the house, then I fall asleep. So to me, what has really kept pace with where I used to be with reading is the fact that I can listen to these books I'm interested in reading because I can do something else. I can feel productive. I'm getting the knowledge. I'm doing this. But doesn't it seem like people treat it with a second-class status? I even, like, deal with it, that, and a fan of books, but I feel like, well, I'll even say to somebody, they'll say, did you read such and such? I'll say, well, I listened to it. Because it's somehow diminished from reading it. Am I the only one that gets that vibe, or people put that, like it's somehow, it's not the same? It's not the same. If you listen to it, it's not the same? It shouldn't be, although, I mean, you could argue that when you're reading a book and there's dialogue in the book, in your head you're creating what those voices sound like. You know, you're it's not the painting the picture, because the painting the picture, the author's going to, or the author's reading it, or they get a voice talent to read the book. You'll hear the words, and then you can paint your own picture. But the one thing, I mean, if the author or the voice talent is doing the voices of the people in the book, maybe that's different. But I don't know. It's always been this weird thing, which I like it. I it keeps me on pace with books to be able to listen to them versus pick them all up and read them. But it does feel like it has some kind of second class status. I don't know why. Maybe that's just me in there. But yeah, so that's what, and there's some questions here. Let's see. So Rick's asking, who is the local author that has all the history books? Well, there's a lot of them, but the one you probably, if you listen to me talk a good bit, John Sledge is on the show a good bit. His book, one of my favorites, I've told you, Mobile River by John Sledge is a fantastic book. But if you're into into those things, right? That's why I always caution. Like, if I know you personally, I might recommend that book to you, or might not. But if you're interested in our history here, and I'm talking about a pretty long history here in Mobile, and the eventual settling of where we have Mobile now, and everything in between, and everything going forward from then, that's a great book. There's so many I can recommend. You go back through and look at the podcast of this show over the years, and there's so many authors on and so many books I think are great. And this is just, pick something up and read it, or pick something up and listen to it, right, on National Book Day. Make that something to do. Either way, I'll get over this worry, what people think about me if I'm listening to a book versus reading it. I know Dalton's probably making faces at me right now, but hey, however you can consume the information, the knowledge, the mental exercise of a book, fiction or nonfiction, I think it's worth doing. And on this National Book Day, do that. Somebody suggesting, no, I can't say that. Suggesting magazines to read. I know you can. There's not a lot of words in that magazine. So I hear. So I can't do that. Also, I want to remind you an update here on something we talked about a couple weeks ago that is going on, a raffle for Sergeant Kenneth Johnson. The fundraiser is going on still with Stone Arms. They're selling raffle tickets for a new in-the-box, so NIB as they call it on the web, new in-box, ATAC Defense AR-15 with Mega Pro Light ML-62661 and a M-21 1x30mm illuminated Open X optic. Total package for this rifle and combo is $1,559. You can go to Stone Arms on Facebook and see the picture of it. But the important part of this is it is a fundraiser for a Mobile police officer, Sergeant Kenneth Johnson. And the tickets are all going. All the money, the tickets are $20 each to get in this raffle. It's cash only, and all the proceeds go to Kenneth Johnson. If you'll go check it out on Stone Arms on Facebook, you can see it. I think we linked it up on ours, too, a couple weeks ago. You can scroll down and find it. But, yeah, they're still doing that raffle, the money to benefit Sergeant Kenneth Johnson. And you can see more details there in the hashtag Kenneth Strong movement out there. But, yeah, very, very nice rifle, and something for you to check out. All right, coming back, we got a text coming in here on this. We can talk books some more. And somebody on the text line did get it right on why you don't ever see ABC. Now, the ABC stores could not, maybe they never would sell to minors. Not saying they do. But the reason why you never see an ABC store listed on the, hey, they busted, you know, these following stores for selling to minors. A lot of y'all have figured it out there. We'll talk about that when we get back, too.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
That looks cool. Dalton, just Googling that. Dalton and I are trading book ideas. Like, we've been doing that since we've known each other. Hey, you ought to read this. You ought to read that. It's kind of fun to do on National Book Day. All right, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Cattle Kingdom, the hidden history of the Cowboy West. You know me, right? Dalton's formulaic. I'm already in. As soon as we go to the next news break, I'll probably order that, but I'll probably, you know, D, I'll probably shame you here. I'm probably gonna listen to it. It's this weird thing, though. I mean, you get the same information, but it's like this second class thing. Did you read it? Well, I didn't read it. I listened to it. Oh man, well, that's not the same. Well, you know what? You get a lot more, get through a lot more works if you listen to them. At least if you're in my world here. All right, text line. All right. Oh, and thank you, Travis. I appreciate that. I messed that up and misspoke. Sergeant Kenneth Johnson with USA, South Alabama Jaguar Police Department, not MPD. Details on that fundraiser you can get on the Facebook page for Stone Arms. All right. Yep, y'all figured it out. So this is going off of a conversation we had about a month ago or so with State Senator Arthur Orr, that comes on every year with me to talk about the bills he brings to amend the ABC to get them out of the retail side of booze selling, right? I mean, and I'm with him. I'm still for, you know, making sure, yeah, you're making sure like they did here that the businesses aren't selling to minors. Even the state collecting the excise tax on the booze coming into the state and putting that on it, those things are fine. It's the retail part of it. But in a conversation we had about a month ago, he pointed out that the enforcement arm, ABC enforcement arm, does not do stings on ABC retail locations. They do them on the private businesses. You know, those of us paying taxes, people in the free market, in the private marketplace, working their tails off to run a liquor store, and that money going to the municipality, the county, and the state, right? You got that. But they can get these busts done on them, right? These stings, which I think they should. They should. But they don't do that on the ABC stores. I thought that was interesting. Just a little. Yes, one of my friends on Twitter saying, well, the state ain't going to pay itself. Well, I get that. But do you think that they shouldn't make sure that they're complying there at those locations? It's kind of interesting, right? That you might say, well, why would they, you know? Well, because the enforcement arm is not the people that are doing the retail side. So if you believe it's the right choice here for the regular people that are not the state engaged in the business to have to have these checks done, then why wouldn't you think it's the same thing for the state stores? I don't know. It's one that I had not thought of till Senator Orr had discussed that. All right, and also working off a discussion we had end of last hour with Representative Chip Brown. Here's where it sits right now. We're seeing it's our own kind of version, a little bit, of what happened in Georgia. But this has happened here before in Alabama. John Sharp from AL.com writes, the NCAA could pull out of hosting college basketball tournaments in Birmingham if Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signs legislation regulating the medical and sports decision of transgender youth. LGBTQ advocates say they also claim World Games set for 2022 in Birmingham could be in jeopardy. Conservative supporters of both policies anticipate the Republican governor in deep red Alabama will sign the matters into law, despite any economic threats if they come. For Ivy, a major decision is approaching over how to proceed with legislation that critics call discriminatory towards transgender youths and a violation of the NCAA's policy of hosting events in environments safe, healthy, and free of discrimination. Yeah, this is... I would appreciate if there was real discrimination going on, that the NCAA has the right to make their own decision. But when you prop something up as discrimination, say you're not going to come because of that, I think you look silly as the NCAA. And at the same time, hey, NCAA, you don't vote for governor in the state of Alabama. You're not, the governor of the state of Alabama is not beholden to you, it's beholden to the people of Alabama. John goes on to write here, and I think it's probably astute. Ivy's decision could also shine a light on whether the governor has future political ambitions in 2022 as re-election decision approaches. You know, what I'm getting, the little bit we get from the governor's office there, is she is going to run. And I think, as a side note to that, when Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth 2 months ago came out and stated specifically he wasn't going to run for governor, it told me something. The way I look at Goat Hill, the way I look at Montgomery, look at the Blunt Mansion. Because even if you weren't, if you were Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, even if you weren't going to run for governor, why would you get your powder wet? You know what I'm saying? Why would you say anything? I mean, if somebody said something, you know, are you going to run for governor? Well, you know, my job's Lieutenant Governor. I don't have any plans right now to do that. But no, he specifically stated that he would not run for governor in this cycle. And I thought that was a strange thing to like offer up out of nowhere. You know, like when you're talking to somebody and they'll say, tell you something else I didn't do. You're like, well, we weren't even talking about that. It's like a tell that something else is afoot. So I didn't understand that one. But the governor, I think the more interesting question, and you can read John's story over at AL.com, would be, would that matter? Would we believe if, and I do think what John writes is worth reading here, And he brings up a question, but the secondary question would be, should that matter? If Governor Ivey was not going to run for re-election, okay, if she was not going to run for re-election, do you think that she would not sign this law? Isn't that kind of a more interesting part of that question? Like, if Governor Ivey was, do you believe that if Governor Ivey was not running for re-election, that she would sign? I don't think so. I don't think so. But at least it's offered as a possibility in this story. I'll tell you what, I'll pop this up over on the Twitter feed. Y'all can check it out yourself. Coming back, my buddy Wayne Dean from UCP is going to join us. They got a fishing tournament coming up, and, you know, I'm into that. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com. Remember the fantastic Facebook page, Instagram, the Twitter feed, all FM Talk 106.5. Check them out. And you can get podcasts through the website and, of course, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, all the platforms got us, so go check us out. All right, good to see my friend Wayne Dean from UCP of Mobile joining me in the studio. Lots to talk about, and he has a flyer with him about a fishing tournament, so he's got my attention before we even got cranked up. Hey, man.
Yep. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. So this is, and we talked about this in the past for what UCP of Mobile does, and Mobile is kind of a misnomer because the footprint's...
Right. It's actually 30-some-odd counties in South Alabama.
Mobile plus a lot.
Plus a lot.
And the number of families served?
Well, you love this number, and I think it's probably more than that, or will be as soon as we get through this COVID. 700 families each month. Something. And, how many people you want to put in a family? Two, yeah. Three? Four. It varies.
You got last name Sullivan. Six, seven?
Right. And everybody in the family is affected by someone that has cerebral palsy or another disablement that... That they're dealing with. It's not just the patient the immediate family. It's everybody in the family.
And the nice thing is that y'all have best ideas, best actions for those people to deal with it, because you've seen this before, and something that's brand new for a family, y'all have seen this, and you can point them in the right direction.
Yeah, we start really almost at birth. We have an early intervention program where the therapist and the counselors go into the home. And... I was reminded of this situation in Alabama where the couple had the conjoined twins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've had children before, but this is going to be a different challenge. Same way when you have a child with a disability, cerebral palsy or anything, whether you've had a child or not, that child is going to be a little bit different to take care of. And we have people that can actually go in the home and help those parents and that family from almost day one to start working with that child, not only to be able to cope with different things that they're going to have to do, but to have that child grow where he or she is the best possible person they can be and function in the world.
You know, and I love what y'all are doing. I like people to know it. But then I look back at last year and so many conversations we had with you and other local charities. Y'all's work didn't stop.
No.
During whether it was the shutdowns or COVID, work didn't stop. But the normal events that fund this, the charity events that y'all had that fund this, they were severely curtailed.
Yes, we basically were out there, the special event of business. We were able to do some small things like button rib sale and
remote kind of things.
Right. And we also were able to parlay a at-home food and folly out of it. But, again, it wasn't the events that we normally do that people really like to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're excited that this year we're back into that, or at least we're beginning to phase into that. And I guess our first major event of this year is our fishing tournament, Hooked Up to Help.
Okay, now I love this. And I mean, even if we were last year, you could socially distance and fish, but now we're, you know, moved out of the mask mandate. Things are changing.
Right.
People, and if you hadn't looked, people on the number of boats hooked up to trucks out here, probably when you came from your office to mine.
Oh, yes.
It's Friday. Everybody's ready to fish. You got a tournament coming up May 8th?
May 8th is the tournament and the weigh-in. And as you related, Sean, the neat thing about fishing is, you know, you're going to fish in a boat or from the shore with your buddies, your mm-hmm. family. And then when you come to weigh in, if you still feel that you need to really social distance, we're going to space you out when you weigh so everybody's not up there hugging at the weight station.
Right.
So it's a natural event for COVID or any other
right.
situation.
Now let's talk about the format of this tournament.
It's basically... it's our 13th. We would call it 13th annual, but we missed last year, so it is the 13th.
Okay.
Started 14 years ago. Basically, it's an inshore fishing tournament, which basically is a tournament that you fish close in, whether it's by boat. We have four categories, speckled trout, redfish, white trout, and flounder. Fish that, you know, if you catch... Even if you don't win a prize, you can take home, fry, and eat.
Yes.
So it's not a...
With golf. Not to take away from golf, but try that. Try and go eating a golf ball.
Yeah, or a shark.
Yeah.
Or a game fish. You know, you just don't do that, and it's a place for that. And the weigh-in is actually from 1 to 4. You can fish anywhere in Alabama waters.
Okay.
You do not have to be an Alabama resident to fish, but you have to fish in Alabama waters.
Okay.
And we have, like I say, the four categories. And we also have, in addition to the adults, we have a kids division. So the adults will be vying for things like fairly expensive reels and rods and gift certificates and ice chest, where the children... from ages basically 1 to 12 or 0 to 12, we give them trophies.
Okay.
And
to be displayed proudly in their bedrooms.
Sure, sure. And believe me, those children, those kids enjoy getting those trophies because, you know, they've been out fishing with mom, dad, or whoever, and they come in and they win a prize. And we have had cases where two different type situations. 3 or 4 years ago, we had a family from Mississippi that came over. Young girl, she was either 10 or 11 at the time. She didn't want to fish in the children's. She wanted to fish adult. So she paid the $30, or her parents did, for an adult ticket, and she won one of the major prizes. That whole family won a different one, either first, second, or third prizes, and they took home like 3 or 4 ice chests and all kinds of prizes.
I like this kid.
And, you know, so she knew, Daddy, I'm already past what most kids are, you know, throwing a hook in the water. And she had already progressed because her family and maybe the family's friends had taught her how to fish.
I got one of those in my house. Yeah, so she may choose. If somebody wants to get tickets, Wayne, where they...
Okay, they're available really through, United Cerebral Palsy's office over on Dolphin Square, and also online, which, you know, you do that from home.
UCPmobile.org.
And it's a fishing link on there. And then at all your usual places where you normally get bait.
Yeah, I'm looking at, you got, for me, it's on the way, Jemison's.
Quince, Marshall Marine down, Tackle This, hooked up by the bay, which used to be Scott's on the causeway. You know, Deer River, Southern Bama, and Marshall Marine is not a bait place, but they sell a lot of tickets for us.
Right there on Shell Belt Road.
On Shell Belt.
Yeah, yep. Passed it the other day. Southern Bama as well.
Southern Bama.
So,
you know, all your usual places that you usually get bait at.
But you could, if you go online, so there's not like you don't have to clear a captain's meeting or anything. You can buy your ticket online and just go fish and then show up.
Right.
And the weigh-in is where?
It's at Ralph and Kaku's on the causeway. And it's from 1 to 4. And we have a lot of people that will just show up with their friends, even if they don't have a fish that's in contention. We also have people, because you can fish anywhere in Alabama water, that'll fish in bodies of water that's fairly far away from ralphing cockoos.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll call somebody at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock and say, what does the leaderboard look like?
Yep.
And if they're already behind, they're not going to worry about coming to weigh in, but they still, they still helped us. And they've had a good day on the water.
Yeah, fantastic charity and a great way to enjoy helping that charity. So May 8th, and it's hooked up.
Hooked up to help.
And it's May 8th. Tickets available now online or at your tackle retailers and non-tackle retailers.
And you also get a T-shirt with that.
Very good. Wayne, as always, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate what y'all are doing here in Mobile and 30 other
right, right.
Thanks for that, and we'll see you out there. And so go ahead and do two grown-up tickets, because my little one, she's gonna be like, okay. That. She's going to want to fish.
Maybe you'll snag one of the big prizes.
That's what I'm going to try. That's for sure. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. Tiffany Ray from Taylor Martino, our guest, when we return.